Today is the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension, and these are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. There will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. The novena to the Holy Ghost continues this week in preparation for the Feast of Pentecost. Some of the days of that novena are recorded on the live stream. So you can, even if you are not able to join virtually or with your own novena at home, you can look at those recordings whenever you are able. Next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. There will be a solemn Mass at 9 a.m. and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. The feast for this week, today is the feast of St. Eubald. Tomorrow, Monday, the feast of St. Paschal Baylon. Tuesday, May 18th, St. Venantius. Wednesday is the feast of St. Peter Celestine. Thursday is the feast of St. Bernardine of Siena. And Saturday, May 22nd, the feast of St. Rita of Cassia. We have her statue right here. Your obligation to fulfill your Easter duty, that is, receiving the Blessed Sacrament within the Easter time, a grave obligation, must be fulfilled before Trinity Sunday, which is the end of the Paschal season. That is May 30th. And then also a special announcement, the upcoming feast of Corpus Christi will be on June 3rd. There will be a high mass, followed by a procession, benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, so please make every effort to attend that beautiful mass. Just to recap, blessing of articles after Mass today, benediction this evening at 6 p.m., the novena to the Holy Ghost continues throughout this week. Next Sunday is a solemn Mass for the Feast of Pentecost at 9 a.m. and benediction at 6 p.m. And your obligation to fulfill your Easter duty ends on May 30th. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be prudent and watchful in prayer, but above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves. For charity covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without murmuring. According to the gift that each has received, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as with words of God. If anyone ministers, let it be as from the strength that God furnishes, that in all things God may be honored through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "But when the Advocate has come, when I will send him from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness concerning me. And you also will bear witness, because from the beginning you are with me. These things I have spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized. They will expel you from the synagogues. Yes, the hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he offers worship to God. And these things they will do because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have spoken to you, that when the time for them has come, you will remember that I told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Mass falls between two major feast days in the liturgical year. On the one side, you have the Feast of the Ascension last Thursday, which was the day in which we commemorated that completion of our Lord's visible life on earth, the culmination of the whole redemptive act, the redemptive mystery on Ascension. And then next Sunday, of course, the Feast of Pentecost, which is, as you know, the birthday of the Church and the beginning of the invisible reign of the Holy Ghost in the mystical body of Christ. As you can see, the Paschal candle has been extinguished and removed last Thursday. That guiding light that was prefigured by the pillar of flame that led the Israelites through that desert at night has been taken away. Jesus therefore said to them, "Yet a little while the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that the darkness may not overcome you. And he that walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light." This Sunday is at that transition. And you can see the two threads, these two themes woven through the liturgy today, one of a continued celebration of the glorification of our Savior on Ascension Day, and the other one, which I will focus on today, the preparation for our coming mission on Pentecost. So this gospel citation is perfect for bridging those two, between us being led directly by our Lord while he was on earth, by his teaching and his instruction for the past 40 days, to now the point where the mystical body of Christ continues Christ's life in the world, continues his mission, picks up the torch, so to speak. "He that followeth me walketh not in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That's what we're preparing for Pentecost. And there are three main pillars that are outlined in this Mass, in this instruction, that will support our apostolate, this coming mandate for us. The first being prayer. As you heard from the epistle, at the beginning of the epistle from St. Peter, he said, "Be prudent and watchful in prayer." And that is exactly the posture in which we found the apostles on Pentecost. As you recall, our Lord, before he ascended into heaven, he told them, "Remain in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father." And so the apostles united with the Blessed Virgin remained in Jerusalem in the upper room 9 days in prayer. The very first novena. Preparing themselves. And so this prayer is supposed to be our foundation as well. You've heard from this pulpit ad nauseum more times than you can count the importance of prayer, the necessity of prayer. As the saints tell us, he who prays is assured of going to heaven, and he who does not pray is just as assured of damnation. But the scary thing is, when I happen to be in the back and I see people kneeling at these pews, I don't necessarily know that they're praying. Remember that prayer is the lifting of our mind and our heart to God. And so I think that we should take a moment and examine our conscience and think of how often we actually lift our mind and heart to God in our prayers, and how often we just move our lips. We just recite those formulae that we learned as children, our fathers and our Hail Marys, and our mind is on 100 other things. I told this to my First Communion class a couple months ago, this story of this very holy and pious nun many years ago was sitting in the back of this very large church, cathedral. She was looking at the faithful as they all unanimously recited the rosary, similar to what we do on First Fridays. And she was listening to this and she was admiring how these people are praying. And then she heard a voice in her ear from her guardian angel. And he said, "Do you want to know who was actually praying?" And she listened as this loud, unanimous recitation of these Hail Marys and the Rosary died down until she just heard one warbling voice of an elderly woman in the front row. "Hail Mary, full of grace." And while this nun was still shocked, the angel spoke to her again and said, "Do you want to see what the others are thinking?" And then this silence grew and grew into a deafening cacophony of noise, conversations on every topic. "Oh man, I really like her dress. I need to find one like that. I don't like the way this person prays next to me. What am I going to eat afterwards on business and leisure?" And then slowly it went back to all those Hail Marys being said together. Even priests and religious, those who have supposedly dedicated their life to prayer, can fall into this lip service. We all have distractions, we all have temptations in our prayers. And it's true that we're only responsible for an actual sin when we give in to deliberate distraction. When something comes to us, we advert to the fact that our mind is wandering and we let it wander. However, if we never practice custody of our heart and our thoughts, if we never give our mind periods of silence and contemplation, then what can we expect when we kneel down and our mind, like a ill-disciplined child, wanders and does whatever it wants because it hasn't been trained? I think there is a degree of culpability there if we never practice prayer correctly. But there's another column on which this coming mission rests, and that is humility. This is part of the gospel from Thursday's Mass. At that time, this is right before our Lord ascended into heaven. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, and that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. You would think, perhaps even the apostles thought, that one of the last instructions, one of the last words that our Lord spoke to them would not be a chastisement, reminding them of their weakness and their self-reliance and how often they fall because of that self-reliance. But it taught a very important lesson to them as well as us, that of humility. Our apostolate is based on humility. Remember that humility, and this is, people get confused about this, they think humility is just thinking of themselves as lower than everybody else, thinking themselves as less. That's not humility. As St. Francis de Sales said, for a little spark or a flicker of flame to consider itself nothing compared to the sun is no great act of humility. What the virtue of humility is an honest look at ourselves, seeing how much we're really worth. That's humility. How dependent we are on everything, for everything. That's the virtue of humility. And we will accomplish far more in our mission by having great humility and little knowledge, than having a piercing penetration of the most delicate minutiae of the faith combined with self-conceit. Of course, with God's grace, we should strive for both. We should strive to be knowledgeable and humble according to God's good pleasure. And finally, the last pillar, charity. But above all things, have a constant mutual charity among yourselves, for charity covers a multitude of sins. And it goes without saying, when we speak about charity, we speak about love here. We are not referring to the sentimental, bleeding heart charity or love that you hear preached from so many pulpits today. We're speaking about that divine theological virtue of charity, that share in the love God has for himself and the love for our neighbor for his sake. That's the charity that we should have. And this was always a hallmark of Christians. From the very beginning, ab initio. Look at how these Christians love each other. That was the famous quote. And this charity that Christians display, the Catholics display, on the corporal level, both corporal and spiritual works of mercy, on the corporal level, always serves the spiritual. It's always to bring people to God. During the times of persecution, this is around the year 253, 254, during the reign of Pope Saint Stephen the First. He was the Pope who was going to his martyrdom, and St. Lawrence said, are you going to leave without your son? And he said, you will follow me, that Pope. During the first couple years of his reign, in the 250s, a terrible plague swept the entire Roman Empire, one of the worst recorded in history next to the Black Death in the Middle Ages. From Ethiopia all the way up to the upper regions of the Roman Empire, it swept through, and it was so frightening to Christians and pagans alike, it said that the pagans seemed to lose all sanity, seemed to lose their minds with fear. Saint Cyprian, who was alive at the time in Carthage, he said you could see them taking their loved ones as soon as they saw the first symptoms of the plague and throwing them out the window into the street to protect themselves. He said Carthage was, the streets were riddled with the dead and dying, Christians and pagans alike. But the Catholic Church had a different response. Pope St. Stephen brought the bishops together, and in turn they brought the faithful, and they organized relief teams, so to speak, that went through the streets of the city and gave aid to the sick, while the pagan Romans looked out their windows at these rejects of society, these enemies of the state, the Christians, caring for their own loved ones. And as the account says, there was a massive influx of conversions after that time. The corporal works of mercy serving the greatest aid we can give to our neighbor in helping his soul, bringing him to Christ. So in these hard times, times of persecution, and there are truly times of persecution, perhaps for most people it might be a dry persecution, you know, belittlement and ostracization and so on, but it can be violent as well. I just heard a couple days ago this official in France, he was the president of the Observatory of Christian Heritage, I believe, or something along those lines. Just a couple days ago, he came out and he said that the rate of attacks and vandalism on churches and religious sites throughout France is staggering. He said that there are nearly 2 reports of vandalism, breaking statues, tearing up churches and arson and so on every single day. In these times, it's more important than ever that we Catholics can rely on each other, that there's that loyalty, that bond. And it starts at home. If we show no charity, no interest in the needs, no solicitude to our wife or our husband, our children, brothers and sisters, perhaps we only find criticism in them, things to criticize or belittle them even in public. Then how can we expect to spread this charity to others? So, brethren, it's incumbent upon us throughout this next week while we complete our novena to use these methods, humility and love in prayer, to prepare our hearts like a set tinderbox, so that even though that paschal light has been removed, all it takes is just the smallest flame from that descent of the Holy Ghost to set our hearts ablaze. So that we can continue our Master's work in the world, we can continue carrying that light in these difficult times. As the introit of this Mass says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" May God bless you.